School PR professionals spend a few weeks a year participating in professional development and networking, if they're lucky. We use this time to connect through conversation and shared experiences. Conversation is one of the best parts of our jobs, but then we go back to our daily work and the time for connection begins to wear off.
Welcome to School PR Happy Hour. During our time together, our goal is to continue a sense of collaboration and shared conversation throughout the whole year.
We are a community of communicators that lean on each other in hard times and times of celebration and learn from each other regularly.
This podcast gives us the chance to get to know each other better by sharing our passions about furthering education one story at a time.
Whether you are listening on your morning commute or winding down after work, we are so glad you're here and look forward to learning alongside you today.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into another episode of School PR Happy Hour. My name is Justin Deering, and I'm a communication strategist for CISO Communications. As you know, once a season, we dive into the APR process and the reason behind why some of our favorite APRs in the industry went after their accreditation. This season's a little different. As you know, if you follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, or any of our social medias, both me and Becca are currently going through the process of obtaining our APRs. We're working through the book, working through the panel presentation, all the things that come with it. And we also have our good friend David Olson in our accountability group. We thought since we're about halfway through that process for most of us, we would bring the group together and kind of talk about why we're doing this, but also talk about some of the roadblocks and some of the nervousness that comes from being in the process. As you know, there's a lot of people in the industry who are thinking about their APR or currently chasing after their APR. And we want to be as transparent as possible as we can about this process that we're going through in hopes that it helps others. So if you hear this, you have questions, reach out to us, but honestly, reach out to an APR and ask them a question. They've been through the process. We're still learning as we go through this. So I hope you enjoy today's conversation, a little bit different than our normal show, but we hope you gain something from it. Thanks for being here.
Hi, this is Dr. Jill at Class Intercom, and we're honored to once again be the official sponsor of School PR Happy Hour. I spent 30 years in education as a teacher and administrator, so I know the challenges schools face when it comes to social media. Class Intercom makes approvals, moderation, analytics, and archival easy. With our support, schools and districts are able to champion student voice and tell impactful stories that engage their communities. To learn more, contact me or the rest of our team at classintercom.com.
All right, well, welcome in, Becca. I mean, you're here every other week, so whatever. But hey, David, welcome in. We're so glad you're here today to hang out with us and talk about this process of the APR we're going through.
I am excited to see you too, as always, as we've done for many weeks now.
Yeah, we have been meeting on Tuesday nights pretty regularly, we'd say, about going over the book and talking about where we're at in the process. But today we are going to get into a little bit of why we're going after it, a little bit about our accountability group and kind of what the rules we set in the early part of this for us, and also what has gone well, what hasn't gone well, and maybe some of the things that have made us a little nervous or have been roadblocks over the last 6 months as we have launched this thing. So I'm going to go ahead and throw it to you, Becca. Why don't you tell us a little bit about why, you know, your little elevator speech on why you're going after your APR?
Yeah, of course. So I think, like a lot of people, or maybe not like a lot of people, but I think I've heard other people share this as well. I have been thinking about doing my APR for years now. I am in my eighth school year in school communications. I have been looking into it for a while. And for me, one of the reasons that I want to do it is to just really elevate my practice. I want to learn more skills. I am somebody that has always liked to continue learning. I love professional development, and this really seems like the next level for me to be able to improve my practice. So that is a little bit about, you know, my reason behind it.
David?
For me, it's just kind of the time felt right. Also, like Becca, I've been doing this for 8 or 9 years. And for me, I am 100% self-taught. Previously, I was in tech theater and then somehow ended up in comms, and have learned along the way and immersed myself in everything I could. So this time felt right. Also, for me, it was a requirement of my job to get it by the end of this year. I had 2 years to get it from being hired. So needed to get it, and I've started and stopped multiple times, and this group just kind of formed, and here we are.
Yeah, and for me, it's been something I've been talking about probably for honestly since the first season of this show 5 years ago. I'm lucky that I've had the opportunity to work with some folks that maybe encouraged me in a different direction without saying I wasn't ready. I know when I first brought it up to Julie, she was like, "Maybe you should look at the CPC." And I was like, "Oh, she's doing that because it's local." No, she admitted to me about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, she was doing that because I wasn't ready. And I appreciate that because it set me up for success now, as opposed to, if I wouldn't have succeeded 4 years ago, who knows where we would be today. But I'm doing this because it is, like you both said, it's the next step in my career. It solidifies the practices that I'm doing every day, and it really shows that I'm willing to put the work in to understand a true strategic process and to understand why we do what we do and when we do it in our jobs every day. But it's been a long process for me, obviously. I mean, I literally bought or got the study guide in 2000, I guess it's 2018. So it's been on my desk. I've had to update it because they came out with a new version
Same.
Since I got my first one. So it's been a while for me. But yeah, it has been an interesting last 6 months. It really feels like momentum has started for all three of us, and it's been really cool to be in those groups and talk. And it's just, I'm glad we started it. So let's talk a little bit about the accountability group. We've kind of started one with the three of us, with a half member, I think, if you would, with our accountability boss, as we call her. We'll talk about her in a minute. But we started this, I guess, what, October, maybe November last year, and just said, "Hey, this is happening." The ultimate goal was all three of us pinned at Seattle. And we even set a goal of like, "Hey, if all three of us pull this off, we'll go on a really epic hike." And when we go on hikes, epic things happen, as you can talk with David about. But I know before we started this group, I had done the cohort for Inspire twice. I had done the cohort for PRSA twice. But this was the first time that movement actually happened. So let's start at the top. When we started this accountability group, we set some rules. Let's talk about some of those rules. What was something that stuck out to you, Becca, when it came to us starting this? Like, what was our reasoning and what were our rules on how this was going to work for us?
So I think one of the things that worked best for us was to keep things consistent. So we tried to set the same day each week, the same day and same time, so that we knew, there wasn't a question. If obviously, if somebody had to reschedule, we would move things around. But we have
Or if they had
our
to take a
Tuesday.
nap, Becca.
Yeah, let's be honest.
Yes, or if they had to take a nap. But we kept the same time and same day each week. And I think that's one thing that's at least helped me because it helped kind of build that routine of, okay, every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, I'm focusing on my APR.
Yes, I think that was a big one for me, is because, consistently with an 11-year-old kid and a wife who's in education and busy all the time, it had to go on the calendar or it was never going to happen. Tuesday nights in my house is basketball night. We go to basketball practice at 8 o'clock, but Tuesday night we saw this perfect little window at 6 o'clock, 5:30 or 6, for us to get together for an hour, me to stop down planning for a basketball practice and to talk about APR and see where we were at and talk about what we read that week, if we read that week. And that was a big thing for me, was the consistency of it. I know, David, when we first started, we posted that first week that we met, and everybody was like, "Oh, y'all are doing a group." And we all got into our group, we're like, "We can't let everybody in." So
Absolutely, that
talk
was.
about your thoughts, because you were the big proponent on keep this thing small. What was the
Yes.
reason we wanted to keep it small?
And first, before we go too far, I was the one who needed the naps, not Becca. I don't want anyone to think that I was throwing her under the bus, that she was the nap taker. I love my late afternoon, early evening naps. So, just for clarity on that one,
That lasts
may I have
sometimes till 7:30 at night. But hey, whatever.
Maybe gotten him in trouble a few times with the meeting group.
Or 3 a.m. the next morning, little details like that. Yes, I was a huge proponent of keeping it small. I felt that if we opened it too big, too large, too quickly, we were going to lose the momentum, and that keeping it small, tight-knit group was the best for us. And in the long run, I have found value in us keeping it small. Yes, we've had to remain flexible with one another, But as Justin said, that consistency has helped, and we were able to keep it so consistent because of how small our group was.
And if you're listening, we do have some listeners that actually asked, hey, how's this work? Can we get involved? It was nothing against y'all. It was, we knew our personalities of, if it got big, it's just like a book study. I get into a book study and I show up to the first meeting. If there's 150 people there, I'm like, no one's going to hear my voice. No one's going to hear my concerns, and I'm done listening. I'll read the book, but I'm done showing up to the party. So keeping it small for us, for me, was important just because we're in a trusted group. We're really good friends. We've known each other for a long time, and I can come in here and say, man, I'm discouraged. I don't even think I want to do this thing. And, I mean, let's take last night. Last night, we were in a group last night, and Becca was like, go through your presentation. I was like, no, I don't think I want to do that because I'm not prepared. And y'all kind of just said, shut up and go through your presentation. And I did it and actually felt really good about it after it got done, but also left with 1,000 ideas to the point that I didn't sleep very well last night because it was just running through my head. And I almost just got up at 12:30 and did all my edits on it at that time so that I could get it done. But that's the cool thing about keeping it small with a trusted group is you can come into that safe space and say, man, I'm not feeling it this week. I didn't read. Work has gotten in the way. Life has gotten in the way. Naps have gotten in the way. I haven't done anything in the last 7 days, but we're still moving towards an end goal. And then for me, one of the big things that I, and this may just be me, y'all may be thinking, Justin, this is wild that you do this all the time, but I constantly share about us meeting. And it's not to like showboat and be like, hey, we're doing this. It's honestly because there's people out there that aren't in our group that will text me and say, I haven't seen a picture of y'all in a couple weeks. Are y'all still doing your thing? The biggest cheerleader we have right now is Christy McGee. And she is texting me all the time saying, I haven't seen a picture. Have y'all been meeting? Just checking in on us. She's not our official accountability person, but she's working to make sure we're following through and then just being transparent with it because it's not an easy route. It's not an easy thing to do. And it's not, I mean, at times it's fun. I'm learning some cool things, but it's not like your favorite college class, I would say. It's tough. There's some interesting things in there that you're learning, but also at the same time, you're trying to do that while working full time. In my case, while being a basketball coach for an 11-year-old team, which is herding cats still at that age. So there's a lot going on. So I constantly like to share what we're doing and show that we're still meeting, A, because it makes the text messages come in less likely and less caps, less caps locks that say, why aren't y'all meeting? Are y'all getting anything done? But also, I think since the beginning of this show and pretty much beginning of school PR for me, I've been pretty much an open book on what we're dealing with, whether it's in district or in my own personal thing. So I like to share that. One of the big things, and this is where it gets a little fun. One of the big things we decided early was we need to find somebody not in school PR and not in our group to basically get on and chew us out if we missed a meeting or if we hadn't read or if we hadn't done what we said we were going to do. And of course, David's great idea during one of our first meetings without even saying anything was to text Katie, my wife, and say, hey, you're in charge of keeping us in line. Katie's been on the show before and we all know how Katie is awesome and we love her, but all at the same time, she will crack the whip. So what's it been like for y'all? It's weird for me because it's my wife, I'll be honest, but what's it been like for y'all to have somebody who has no clue about the process, just kind of making sure that we're staying in line?
Go ahead, Becca.
I was just going to say, I loved it. I think it's so great to have somebody that's just kind of not only like an accountability person, but also she's doing it because she's a cheerleader for all three of us, which I love. Outside of her, we also have friends in school PR who are also accountable, holding us accountable. But I've just loved having her kind of be a part of it with all of us too.
There is not a week that goes by that we don't get a text message from her. In fact, our group chat is called APR Accountability in all caps. And in fact, she just texted us as we're recording this. So Katie, here is your shout out that you requested. I'm glad you're getting it. We could not be here if it was not for you. You light that fire and, you know, as an educator, your teacher side comes out very quickly in these accountabilities and you're never afraid to hijack one of our meetings and just pop in, even if it's in the kitchen screaming, but we still got you. You're helping us out. So I've really appreciated her insight on that.
if we're going to be honest, the person on the call that's probably taken the most of it on the text message. I have taken quite a bit privately that y'all don't know about, but I've loved the day, and let's just be transparent. There was a meeting that we didn't hear from David for a couple hours, and it was because of a nap, and that's why the nap has become such a joke.
I think there's been two meetings where that's happened.
But once Katie found out that David had no-showed the meeting, you got an all caps text with a middle name that isn't your middle name calling you out for not being at the meeting. And all that did was remind us, hey, we set a goal. We said we were going to do this. We got people watching us and we need to step up and do it. And yeah, it's funny because we've all traveled together. We all know each other really well. And she can say things to us that she probably wouldn't say if she had a microphone in front of her right now. But, it's been nice to have somebody who really has no clue about the process other than what we've told her just to keep us in line. And like you said, her teacher voice comes out quick. That classroom management comes out quick and she gets us back in line and gets us moving towards our goal, which is awesome.
And I think it helps that she has that teacher background because she doesn't need to know really about the process to know or to keep us on track with studying, to keep us on track with our project. You know, she knows how to help facilitate that and help keep us on track with that regard. So
I think back to our first week we met and we were in here talking about, okay, we're going to read three chapters, but we're also going to write two questions in our questionnaire. I think she walked in and was like, no, you're not. Like, you're not going to do that. You need to tackle one piece at a time. And she thought about it a lot like her assistant principal principal certification, where there's three pieces of that project you have to do. And if you jump in on all three of them at once, it's not going to work out. That has been helpful just from her teacher mind. I taught for a while, but I didn't teach that kind of class. I taught a class where we created videos and radio shows. And yeah, there was a process, but the creative process is messy and looks different for everybody. So having her kind of come in with a process set mind and be like, yeah, I don't know what you're reading, what you're studying, don't know what those words mean really, but here's the process I would take has really helped me. And I think it's helped everybody else just kind of keep a level mind of, we got a lot to do, but we need to do it in a certain order so that we don't burn out after November and quit, which we didn't. We're here and it's March and we still are doing this.
It also helped when life got in the way. So I silly did this silly and doing everything at once. So on top of working full time, working on a degree in public relations at the same time and doing this studying, life has gotten in the way with coursework and this, but she's kind of kept it grounded and brought me back in at times where I'm like, I can't, this is too much. But there is value, I will say, to do this while taking courses because it's easier to apply in both situations. So I've really enjoyed that. But I am so looking forward to this being done because it is a lot. But Katie's there to keep us on track.
Oh, okay. So one of my favorite things I've learned from having, you know, Katie in this, but also my colleagues at CISO is, you know, we're all three of us on the call are really, we're on the show. We're really good friends. We want to see all three of us get pinned and it may not happen in Seattle. It may not be that all three of us are on stage together, but at some point all three of us are going to have this. But I know I had a conversation with Bob Noyd a couple months ago and he said, I love that you're doing this, but you can't hitch your wagon to anybody. This is your journey. And, you know, last night we went through, I'm at the panel presentation portion. My questionnaire is done. Everybody's at a different spot. And in the past, I do think that we got involved. We're like, all right, we're going to wait for everybody to get to the same spot. And then we're going to go to the next spot together. And then we'll go to the next spot together. And then none of us got to any spots at all. But now we are all in a different spot. We're all on a different journey, but we're all supporting each other and doing our own thing. We're not hitching our wagons. As Bob said, don't hitch your wagon to anybody. I love that you're working with your friends, but don't let your progress or your lack of progress hold them back or, you know, back and forth. So that has been a big thing that I've had to learn in this one is just like, yes, get after it, do your own thing, keep everybody accountable, keep talking, keep sharing what you're learning, but your progress is your progress and you're just here as an encouragement. And that's helped me a lot because we came out of the gate hot. All three of us did. November, we were like, oh, we're going to be done with panels by the end of December. Well, that was dumb because a lot of things, because Thanksgiving and Christmas without even talking about work, it happens between there. So I think it's been good to just kind of process it our way and know that all, like, even if, let's say Becca were to finish first, let's say Becca was done in the next month. Just because she's done, I don't think she's going to stop showing up on Tuesday night until the other two are done. Because now, instead of being on the process, now she's on, like, helping and helping us get to it. So that has been the cool thing for me, on top of all the other stuff we've talked about, is just really being like, yeah, this is my journey, but I have two people that are – three people with Katie that are, you know, 20 people with people that are texting us each week, but that are just pushing us along, and that has been very helpful.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we did kind of at the beginning think like, okay, we're all going to do the same steps at the same time. And all three of us have different things going on in our lives, right? So I think that it is more difficult to say like, okay, we're all going to have this done at the same time, or we're going to have this completed and we're all going to be on the same track. But I think one thing that's it that will be helpful. So whether or not we're in the same spot for the questionnaire, for the panel presentation, any of that, we still have a group that we can go back to ask questions. It's going through the same process, and to kind of have as a study group as well. So we were doing the readings together, and I think that's one thing that maybe is a little bit easier to do all together. Like, hey, we're all going to read these two chapters and then we'll get together and discuss it. I think that's a little bit easier to keep on track. But there's been times where I show up to the meeting, I say, hey, I didn't finish the reading this week. We had 10 crises at work, or I have life stuff going on, or whatever it is. But I think it has been helpful to kind of keep that in mind. And I will say, for me personally, since Justin is already in, you know, he's in his panel presentation mode, it's helpful for me, and it kind of lights a fire under my butt to make sure that I am staying on track. Because even though I may have fallen behind of what the goal was I set for myself, seeing my friend being able to do it and seeing everybody in the group kind of still working at it, I think has been motivational for me.
I could not agree more with you, Becca. I mean, yesterday going through Justin's panel kind of lit that fire, which is what I needed at this point, because I just felt like it's a little too sluggish, things were in the way. But seeing someone at that stage is like, okay, this is so much more manageable. This can be done. And I think back to some of our first conversations, Becca and I did the APR cohort, or the pre-seminar session at ENSPR in Chicago. So that was year and a half ago. And that helped us kind of understand things better, simplified it for us. Now seeing Justin's presentation, that's a lot. That's kind of taken some weight off of that some more. So I think helping us be in different stages has definitely helped maybe the caboose instead of the engine on the train.
Well, I think that the group, for me, it's helped me. And there's been multiple times that we've gone, you know, we've missed a week because of what life, like we said, that I didn't touch it for 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm like, oh crap, that APR thing. Cause again, not only are y'all on me, I also have my 11-year-old daughter who's heard me talk about it, who constantly, I think the answer to one of my questionnaire things is I really got tired of my 11-year-old asking me about it. This group plus just the push from outside to constantly, the fire never went out. It may have gone down to smoke, but we fed it and we got it back up and now we're moving. And I think I texted Christy McGee last night and I said, it's weird. It just feels like the momentum is really rolling now. Like it took, I'm so thankful that y'all pushed me to do the presentation in the small group we had last night, simply because I'm doing it Thursday in front of current APRs as a practice, and I needed to do it once. I feel 1,000 times more confident now. And that's a cool thing is once your panel's ready, almost called you Brittany. Who's Brittany? Becca. we're going to roll into a group and you're going to do it and we're going to give you feedback. Same with David. It's cool. But I think coming through the process and getting to a point, again, none of us have our APR. Usually when we do our APR episode, we have an APR talking about it. This is a different route for us today of like, here's the process. It's dirty. It's messy. It's at times not the most fun. And it's an additional thing on top of your day-to-day life that you're trying to manage in, and you just have to buckle down and do it.
Hi friends, this is Kara Zachney and I'm a design specialist for CISO Communications. We are so excited to be a part of the School PR Happy Hour family, and we hope you learn as much from this show as we do. My role at CISO is to help our clients with their visual presence. It doesn't matter if we're working on a print mailer for an enrollment marketing campaign, custom animations for a referendum video, elements to help your website pop, or even creating a completely new visual brand for your favorite school PR podcast. We love working through the creative process and making your brand stand out. We have a talented team of creative pros who are eager to walk alongside you and help you in any way possible. At CISO Communications, we partner with districts to think about their communications strategically. If your school or district is interested in learning more about how we can work together, we would love to connect with you. CISO Communications is a division of CISO, which stands for Center for Effective School Operations, which also supports schools with transportation, HR, finance, and technology. Visit thecso.com and connect with us today, and be sure to follow us on our social channels at CISOComs. Let us help you rethink possible.
There have been some roadblocks from day one that stick out to me. And I think when I say day one, I'm talking 4.5 years ago. Like the first time I looked at APR, the biggest roadblock that jumped out to me was, man, this just feels like a lot. Like, yeah, going to get a master's degree, that's big. You've done that, Becca. I haven't. But for someone who didn't love school so much, to look at all the things that go into this, I was like, man, this is a lot. And that was probably what blocked me for a year and a half, was it's just a lot. I don't like taking tests. I can talk to people. I'm not worried about presenting in front of folks, but studying I was never good at, test taking I was never good at, sure wasn't a great writer. So that just kind of stood up for about a year and a half in front of me as my biggest roadblock. It was just starting. And I went through a cohort during that time, my first one. And then I, you know, talked to people at Inspire during that time and got pushed by people, got redirected by people, like I mentioned earlier, with some of my mentors saying, hey, maybe go this route before we go this route. But that was my biggest roadblock in the beginning. It has changed now to what my biggest roadblock is. But I would love to hear, like, as you are in your spot in the journey, what is the biggest roadblock for you?
So I would say my biggest roadblock, and Justin, I agree with you. I've lost count of how many cohorts I've signed up for and participated in at this point, whether it be from Inspira or through just the PRSA cohorts. I've signed up for, I think, most of them. I've gone through a lot of them. And I think a big roadblock for me was not really believing in myself, if I'm going to be honest. I am somebody, I think Brené Brown called it a recovering perfectionist. So that's what I like to coin myself as. But I also, a lot of times, am hard on myself. And I've had external factors that have made me feel like I might not be good enough for this. And I think a big part of my roadblock journey has been trying to overcome that and know that I do know this profession and I am skilled enough and I know enough to be able to go through this process. I'm learning along the way. I am, figuring all of that out. But I think that was and has been one of my biggest roadblocks. And when I start to feel that way or I'm feeling anxious about it, I feel like a lot of times I kind of shut down. And so then when that happens, I get like paralyzed. And then even just picking up the book to read a chapter feels very daunting. So I have worked a lot on that. It's something I talk to my therapist about a lot. So that is helpful for me. But I think that's been one of my biggest things. I think on top of that too, work is a lot. You know, we all have full-time jobs. It can be stressful at times more than others. And if I had a really stressful day, which I do frequently, the last thing I want to do when I come home is study or work on a project. And so I think that's kind of been a big part of it for me as well. But I've kind of gotten to a point in my journey where I'm tired of listening to myself say, this is something I want to do. And I've gotten to the point where I'm kind of like, if this is something that you want to do and you say you want to do it, then why aren't you doing it? What, you know, like, and trying to fight that kind of conversation in my own head. And so that's kind of what's been getting me to get back into it a little bit more And I think the other part too is, you know, seeing my friends do it and seeing my friends go through it too. Not that I want to be left behind, because I'm trying to, like we had said before, not hitch myself to anybody else's wagon. I'm trying to remind myself that each of us have our own time and space to be able to do it. But I also want to be able to go through it with the people that I started with, just from even the standpoint of being able to have that study group. I don't want it to be, you know, me doing it by myself in 2 years and then I don't have a group to study with. Right. So I think that's been a big encourager for me too.
So for me, my hurdles have, like Justin, I was never the best student. I hate test taking. I hate getting up and being the center, presenting like that. I'm more behind the scenes. And so I've just really struggled with that. And then self-doubt has been a huge thing of like, oh, I don't know this. This isn't my undergrad, was it? I didn't go to school for this. I've just completely self-taught. Do I really know this? So having to reframe that and kind of put that self-doubt to the side. And then realizing there is some retraining and relearning you have to do along the ways. I remember when it finally clicked objectives for the process and goals and how those are different. I think in education, we're so used to a goal being a SMART goal, but here we have to retrain our brain that those aren't the two things. So there's just been some little learning along the way that has been challenging. And for me, time management has been an issue. I mean, that's my life has been a time management. When I'm 100% focused and passionate about it, I can get it done. But when I lose that kind of steam, it falls to the back burner. Something else takes that priority. And as I've already mentioned, finishing school at the same time, it's a lot to balance. Full-time work, this process, classes, side gigs, personal life, relationships, sometimes things give. But our group has allowed, even though when things give, to come back and stay focused. So I'll continue to struggle with time management. It's something I still haven't mastered. But this group allows us to move forward. So,
and I will say, David, you have a lot, like getting a degree while you're doing this too is, you know, just another piece. And so I feel like you do have to give yourself a little bit of grace. And I've tried to do this as well, because you say time management, but you have a lot of things that you're managing. So that's a lot of things to fit into only a finite number of hours in a day. So it is hard to do that time management when you have so many things going on. When I, like one of the first times where I was like, all right, I'm going to do my APR, it was when I was starting to get my master's degree. And I don't know what in my head said, why don't you do both of them at the same time? But that did not work out well for me. I needed to be able to have time to focus on one thing, because that worked better for me. And so you do have to give yourself a little bit of grace there, because you have a lot going on.
One of the things you said, David, that I think is been probably one of my favorite things about this process is like the relearning and reteaching, and what you mentioned, like going through this book and going through the study guides and everything. We know this stuff. We're doing it every day. We just didn't know what people called it. We just knew like we're doing this. And I remember I've done so many cohorts, read the study guide a few times, and it took a book that wasn't about school PR to finally have goals, objectives, strategies, and tactics click. And I think I sent you a text that day and I said, this book has nothing to do with what we're working on, but you need to go buy Outlive by Peter Attia right now and read chapter 3, because it literally was called Goals, Objectives, Strategies, and Tactics.
Yep.
And the way he explained it over those 40 pages, I was like, can we just put this in the APR study guide? And it would kill so many people's anxiety over those 4 words. Because I do think the more I hear people talk about it, whether they are APRs, like doing the, like grading the panels or whatever, rating folks or people working through the process, a lot of times they're like, I just get so confused with what's the difference between a goal, objective, strategy, and tactic. I get a tactic, but the other three kind of feel the same. And that random book, Katie, the English teacher, is like, Justin, this is called a mentor text. I'm like, hey, look, I learned something. That really like propelled me to get going. Cause then I was like, okay, I've been doing this wrong. I finally understand it. And then Becca, what you were saying, I think that is my biggest roadblock now is confidence. It's like, I know this stuff, but do I know it well enough to talk about it for my friends? And last night, if you could tell when I was doing my presentation, the first five slides, I was nervous as hell for some reason to talk to you about it, who wasn't going to tell me I sucked. Like, I was like sweating. I think when I got done, I was like, I am dying here. It's so hot in my office, but I was nervous to tell y'all about it. And that anxiety is kind of lifted because I've done it once and then I get to do it again in a couple days in front of some other friends, but I'll still be nervous there because they're colleagues that I truly respect, like work with every day, really respect, and I want them to think I'm smart. Mm-hmm. So there's some confidence there. And then I'm hoping that these two run throughs really help with the confidence against a panel of TSPR members that I know. Mm-hmm. But ultimately it's leading to something I'm super anxious about and something I've talked to my therapist about multiple times as well, test anxiety. And mm-hmm. just getting in there and being like, ADHD does not work well in a 130 question test because I just want to walk around and bounce off the walls and things. But this process has helped. This process is moving us along. We are getting towards, you know, like go time for a lot of us. I think I said that last night and you're like, I don't know why I just got so fired up. Like you just said, it's go time. Like it was a good pregame speech. But
you said it was go time for you, and I got nervous. I was like, why am I getting nervous? It's your panel. It's not like I'm getting nervous now too.
But I think that the best thing we did was decide that we're okay. This is consistent. We're doing this every Tuesday, just the three of us. We'll bring in somebody to yell at us if we need to. We're going to follow through. We're going to do this, whether we do it on our own time or whether we do it as a group and all walk the stage at the same time. That's what's going to happen. And it's working. And I don't think we're perfect at it. And, you know, for some people, APR written for everybody. I've heard quite a few people at TSPR pull me aside and say, why are you doing that? Like, go get your master's in communications. Well, this is my journey. This is my choice. And for you, go to marketing. Go to your communications master's. That's great. But this process is working. And if you have questions about how we set it up, I listen to the show because that's exactly how we set it up. Like, we didn't do anything special. Yeah. We set up a Zoom. But love for you to reach out to us, talk to us. But honestly, like I said earlier in the show, if you have real questions about the APR, talk to somebody who's already gone all the way through it. Like someone who's been through the whole process, reach out to Christy McGee, reach out here in Texas, Daniel Clark. There's a lot of people that want to help. And we hope that this little transparent look into our group has made it less of a scary villain monster on the hill and more of a, you just kind of have to do it and bite the bullet type thing. And I want to thank you guys for being in the crew. Katie's in the other room. We're on spring break. So thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Cody.
and you know, if nothing else, as we're tagging off, I know I'll see y'all Tuesday night of next week when we go over how my practice panel went. And I'm a little nervous about it. So thank you guys for being here. And thank you for being my friends and being in my group. And, you know, deciding last night at like 7:45 we were going to do this episode today because we realized it was a good idea.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we started it up, and I appreciate both of you and having a group of friends first that, you know, we're able to, like you said, I think at the beginning, Justin, a group where we're really able to kind of voice our fears or voice our thoughts and concerns and come together and really share the process with one another.
One final thing I'll leave y'all with is if you're a solo or an introvert and you don't have a core group of school PRs, I think you can implement what we've talked about solo. Find that accountability partner, find that dedicated time, and stick to it. So you don't need a small group, large group. You can do it on your own. Just find what you need. You know what you need.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for being here today and for being on the show and always being some of my favorite people to hang out with. As we're wrapping up season 5, we will be continuing on some shows through the summer. So if you have some ideas on topics that you want to hear about, or if you want to be on the show and talk about something you love, reach out and let us know. We'd love to get you in and finish strong in season 5. Thank you for listening. Thank you for support to our friends at Class Intercom and CISO. Thanks for supporting us and sponsoring us this year again. And until next time, let's be a little bit better at our jobs every day.